Okay, we're good to go. I think there'll be several people that come trickling in here in 10 or 15 minutes. That's how it normally works. So when they're doing the youth meeting, so let's pray and we'll get rocking and rolling here and see how far we get through this. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for just being good to us, Lord. I thank you for just new life, and Lord, you're really good to us. And so Lord, I do pray that you get the honor and the glory from everything that we do and say today, and that you just speak to us, convict our hearts, just try us, and try us in the fire so that we would come out more like you. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so real quick, it's so weird in here that it's not completely full that I completely skipped doing any announcements. So the good news is if you're listening to this online, you get to hear some announcements real quick. Let's see. Real quick, this Wednesday night, they're doing the transition from Patch Club with the kids to TNT with the kids. So there's going to be they're doing something different. So special service celebrating conclusion of Patch Club, and training in truth season to ministry after prayer, a presentation. Short message will conclude, and they're doing a church-wide ice cream get-together so on Wednesday night. So just so everybody wants to know about that. Today is the last day to register kids for Christ Soccer Academy. So if you know anybody who wants to get involved in that, today's the last day because they're going to order jerseys this week.
You've got a few days to change kids' time.
No, today. Today's the day. Cause they're,
hours,
yeah. No, it's all good. They're doing Adopt-A-Street today, so if you're involved in that, it's going on, inviting people to church in the park here in a couple weeks, and then just a lot of things going on. Just make sure you're letting people know that you love them, and there's a lot of people in and out, so let's see. That's about it from Brian. So I did want to let everybody know, praise the Lord, Ellie and Tucker, but Ellie did most of the work. I had the baby Thursday, and so she's doing great. What is the name, Paige? I can't remember.
Hazel
Grace. So she is adorable. Most little kids, I see their pictures, and I'm like, yep, looks like baby, but she is cute. Yeah, she's cute. So be praying for them. Paige is going to be sending out a meal thing for them. They're going to do meals every other day from starting tomorrow for 2 weeks, so it'll be, yeah, till June 1st. So if you want to get in on that, yeah.
Getting all the details in it, I'll send that out today.
Yeah, we'll send it out, and so anybody who wants to get involved in that, you can either take them dinner, go see the baby, or take them dinner, or send them some dinner or something. So anyway, Lee Summit. Yeah, they're kind of a little ways away, but it's all good. We can do something for them, so.
And they're fine with anyone to order food and have it delivered. They were fine with that.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, that was weird doing announcements on the recording, but you're welcome for whoever's listening. So, okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up the book of Jonah. We're going to get going here, pick back up where we left off last week. And let me get there. Okay, so as we've been working through the book of Jonah, we saw God's great opportunity in verse 1, God's great plan to reach all people in verses 1 to 7, man's great heart problem verses 8 to 12. We spent 3 weeks on that, and so now this is the second week we're going to look at God's great proposal to man. And so we were working through this, and I'll just kind of do a little bit of review from last week. But, you know, Jonah, he comes rolling in, and God says, hey, I want you to reach out and go to these people in Nineveh. And Jonah's like, I don't really think that's a good idea. I don't really want to do that. I'm not going to do that. So see you later. And he runs as far away as humanly possible at that time. You know, he didn't just say, I'm going to go to the next town. He goes as far away as you could travel at that time in the world. He goes, you know, to the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as anybody was willing to travel. He runs to Tarshish, and well, that's where he thinks he's going. And he gets on the boat, and you know, he's running away from God, and then there's a storm. Right, and so we've kind of looked at all that, and in the midst of the storm, he's just kind of like, I don't care if I die, I don't care what happens, I'm just not going where God tells me to go. And he's going, and he's doing this, and you know, the shipmaster comes down, he's like, what are you doing sleeping? This is crazy. And so, you know, the guys on the ship, they cast lots, they're very superstitious, they do all these things. I've kind of talked through all this, but I'm trying to get caught up, and they cast lots to figure out whose problem it is, and ends up being Jonah, they're like, it's your fault. And they're like, why did you do this? And he's like, well, it's because I'm running from God. And they're like, why would you do that? You know, and he's like, well, I'm a Hebrew. I fear God, you know, the God that made heaven and earth. You know, that guy, that's the guy that I serve, and I'm running from him. And these guys are terrified, right? And then we get to verse 12. That's where we ended a couple weeks ago. It was kind of a good spot to pick up. And he said unto them, because they're like, what do we have to do to make this stop? Because we don't want to die. And they've tried everything that they can do. These are seasoned sailors. They've done everything they do. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He's like, it's my fault, and I would rather die than do what God told me to do. So just kill me. It's fine. Because and if you do, I know the sea will be calm. So just get rid of me. And that was his, you know, solution to the problem. It wasn't to repent, to go back. It was just kill me, right? And so last week we picked up in verse 13. It says, nevertheless, right? Because nobody wants to have that on their hands. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, and it was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried. Who'd they cry to? Not to their gods anymore. That's what they were doing, you know, back in verse 5. But when you get to verse 14, things have changed. They cried unto the Lord, capital L, and said, we, not just one of them, not a couple of them, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased. So that's as far as we got last week, and I'm going to pick back up, you know, and read the rest of this. And it says in verse 15, so, this is what they came up to. They took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea, imagine that, ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So I kind of started a list last week of four steps, because, you know, this is God's great proposal to man. He's reaching out to men everywhere, right? He's not only trying to get Jonah's attention, but he's trying to get the attention of the men that are with him. God is always reaching to all people everywhere, through circumstances in your life, through their life, and in the way that it all intertwines is insane when you see the way that God's working in the world. And four steps to go from serving yourself, right, the devil, because that's what you're doing if you're serving yourself, to go from serving yourself to serving God. And so last week we looked at, you know, two of them. You've got to recognize your problem, right? Our problem is, you know, we try to outwork our bad decisions. Everybody in here, everybody who's listening, right, we make bad decisions. We just do dumb things. That's what we do. Right? Even when we try not to, we seem to do dumb things, and we try to outwork our bad decisions. We try to apply our own work or solution to remedy our life problems. But in reality, the problem is simply just a lack of Jesus in your life. If you would just simply apply more of Him in your life, His Word to your life, no matter how hard you work to change your circumstances, you're never going to solve the problem by anything that you can do. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is and how much you think, if I just did this, if I just changed this, if I just... Nothing that you can do is ever going to solve the issue. It's only what Christ can do through you, right? Paul, you know, I used the example last week of Paul kicking. God's like, hey, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? It's probably starting to hurt, isn't it? Right? You know, you can't continue to do this. And in Acts 9:5, so our lives will never change for the better until we stop trying to change them and just start submitting to Him and let Him change us. That was the first one. You got to recognize your problem. You know, the problem is not God. Something comes up in your life, there's a storm, and we're like, man, why is God allowing this? It's not God's fault. God allows things to either grow you or try you, but it's not His fault. So you have to realize who the problem is. Nearly all the time, it's you. The second thing you got to do is you've got to repent from all iniquity in verse 14. Right? That's what we talked about last week. You've got to repent from all of it. Once you realize you've got a problem, then you got to make some serious life decisions. Repentance is, you know, it's not some crazy thing. It's just simply a change of heart that leads to a change of action. It's basically me saying, I probably shouldn't do this anymore. The Word of God has revealed this. My heart is pricked. I'm convicted. It's a change of heart that leads to a change of action. That's all repentance is, right? And so if true repentance has taken place, then action will follow. If there's no action, then there's no repentance. We talked all about this last week. And so the problem is, some of us Christians, we've taken a lot of the characteristics of the old man. Remember the guy that you were like, I don't want to be like that anymore. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to go to Christ. I'm not going to do those things anymore. We take those characteristics and we start to reapply them one at a time to the new man. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, the new man starts to look a whole lot like the old man did, right? With just, you know, a few fixer-upper things in between, right? You got a new faucet in the house, but the rest of it's still falling apart because you keep applying the old things. You know, we keep bringing back the old things. God is not interested in a better version of you. He wants His version of you. So stop trying to fix up what God is doing. Just submit and be obedient. The crazy part of this verse when we talk about it, right, is they say, we don't want innocent blood on our hands. God, what are we supposed to do? We don't want his, I'm talking about Jonah, his innocent blood on our hands. But yet the only hope that anyone in the world has is innocent blood poured over their entire life. Right? It's just ironic that they say, we don't want innocent blood, but yet it does take a sacrifice. And we're going to talk about that today. Notice I said your entire life. Some of us, we think that we can keep back parts of our lives, but instead God, he gets it all, right? He gets it all. All right, so let's fast forward to today. That was just kind of some review from last week. So number three, the third step, right, to go from your serving yourself, right, the devil, the God of this world, to serving God, which is what we all should be striving to do, is you have to apply the propitiation. Now, I understand that's a big word. And it's like, what in the world does that mean, right? You've got to apply the propitiation, the atonement, right, the sacrifice. Right, it's paying the price. The propitiation is paying the price. It is settling up with God. It is figuring out what has to be paid. Right, you see in verse 14, the men cried out to God. That's what it says. It says they cried unto the Lord. It said, "We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For Thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased." They're like, God, we don't want this. They're crying out to God, but you notice there's no change in the situation. There's no change in the circumstance until verse 15. Because until what happens in verse 15 happens, there's no true change in someone's life. You hear a lot of mouth words out of people. Oh yeah, I want to do better. I want to change this. I want to do that. It's not until there's actually a sacrifice that you see something happen. Right? You hear a lot of people say, oh yeah, I want to serve God. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm like, well, your life says otherwise. Right? I'm just looking at you and I'm like, Jesus says, I'm going to know you by your fruit. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking otherwise because it doesn't look like that to me. It doesn't look like that. Well, so, say you want to buy something. You want to buy a new car, right? You want to buy a new house. You want to buy, some new shoes, whatever it is you want to buy something, right? But at some point there has to be an exchange. You can't just be like, hey, I want this. I'm going to go and take it. It doesn't work like that. There has to be a price that's paid for something that you want. You want to, lose some weight. You want to all of a sudden start looking better. When you look in the mirror, you want to start bulking up, and you can't just be like, hey, I want to go grab that. There has to be some sort of sacrifice, some sort of price that has to be paid for that, right? You have to spend some time in the gym. You got to do something, right? There has to be a price that's paid. That's what propitiation is. Propitiation is simply God saying, there has to be something to get you from point A to point B. There has to be a price paid for this. The thing with God is you can't pay that price. We all think we can. We think we can work our way to it. We can work our way through it. We can do all those things. But there's nothing that you can do. It will never be until God wants... I'm sorry. It will never be until God gets what He desires from your life that you'll start getting the change that you desire. Some people are like, oh man, if I could just, have some of God's blessing on my life, I'll take some of that, right? It's never going to be until God gets what He's desiring out of your life. Now, I'm not saying perfection, but I'm saying obedience. Until you start to be simply obedient, until you start to say, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, here am I. Send me. I might not be the best at it. I'll probably be the worst at it, actually. But if this is what you want from me, I'll do it. As soon as God starts seeing some change in your life, you might start seeing some change in your life. Now, I'm not telling you that, this is no prosperity gospel. Actually, it gets worse a lot of times before it gets better. Things get harder before they get easier, right? Hebrews 9:22, it says that, in short, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, right? Without Christ's blood, there's no remission of sins, right? It's talking about, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of bloodshed of bulls and goats and all these different things to atone from this sin or that sin or that sin, right? You ever read through the book of, Exodus or Leviticus, and it's talking about, if you do this sin, then you got to do this. And this one takes two turtle doves, and this one takes a bullock, and this one takes this and that. And you read it, and it's just like, wow, God is so detailed. Why in the world is this in here? Because every one of their sins took something different, right? It took a different sacrifice. And they could go, and then that would keep them clean until they did it again. Well, it's completely different in the New Testament, right? Because it says that Christ's blood is better in the book of Hebrews. The key word of the book of Hebrews is better. And it talks about without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If you don't take Christ's blood on your life, too often people are like, oh yeah, I want God in my life. You can have all the God in your life you want, but it's not going to be real until you get Jesus, right? It takes the blood of Christ to get something to happen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, God was after Jonah's heart. He was trying to get Jonah's attention. And he was going to. He knew the whole time. He was trying to get his heart, but he was also after the men that were with him. God's never after just... His purpose is never just one thing. You know, some people are like, why would God allow this bad thing to happen, right? I only see it through my lens. I only see, like, why would this relationship end? Why would God allow this tragedy in the world? Because God's not just working in your life. You know, yes, he is after you, but he's also after all the men that are with you. And so when you have to look at a situation, you're like, why would God allow that? You have to look at it through a picture of God's lens and not your lens, right? He's trying to get everybody. The storm going on in your life, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this. Going on in your life, it's not going to let up, not even a little, until you settle up with God. It just won't, right? And there's two contexts to that, right? If you're lost, and most people, you know, listening to this, catching this, you guys are saved. I get it. You know, it's past point. You're not rolling into to church service Sunday morning. But, you know, you're never going to get anything that you desire from the Lord if you're not saved, right? I think we all understand that. But once you get saved, right, salvation happens in an instant. The problem is sanctification. The other thing that we're after takes a lifetime. You know, the being like Jesus. There's two contexts. And a lost person, you got to get saved, right? You got to settle up with the Lord. But with a saved person, if you're saved and the storm's raging in your life, because people are like, well, why would that happen? Why does God allow a storm in a Christian's life? That just seems odd to me, right? That seems weird to me that God would allow a storm in my life. God is either allowing it to grow you, to try your faith, to do a lot of things. God's trying to see what you actually have in you, more than you even know what you have in you. God has allowed things in Paige and I's life, just being personal, that at the time I'm like, why in the world? But God was trying to show me what we had. God was trying to show me what we could go through. He's taken people that we've been so close to and just allowed them to be ripped out of our lives just for him to show, hey, you need to cling to me, not to them, not to any one thing, right? It's me. And God will allow those things. And, you know, if you're going through a storm and it's raging in your life, you don't need to reapply the blood for salvation. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about applying the, you know, once you get saved, we understand, you know, eternal security, there is no losing your salvation. But what I am talking about, you know, that's taken care of. But most Christians, we've got storms in our lives because we start to not believe that God's big enough for our problem. We start to think that, yeah, I know that God is God, but I've got this thing over here and I don't really know that God can take care of this. I've got to just do this. We think that God's not big enough for our problem. So we try to help him out, right? By doing things their way a little bit. And before you know it, God's nowhere to be found. Because you quit believing. You might say that you believe. Yeah, I hear people all the time. Yeah, I understand. We've got this massive problem. Our marriage is a wreck. We've got this in my life. My kids are a wreck. I got this going on. My job is a wreck. You know, maybe there's a common denominator. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, everything in your life is falling apart. And you're like, why would God allow this? And I believe. Well, I'm just telling you, you can say all you want. Your lifestyle is not saying that you believe anything. Your lifestyle is saying you're trying to do it your way. And until you start to settle up with God, until you say, God, if this is what you want for my life, just simple obedience, I'll do it. But until you do that, you're never going to get there. When proper propitiation is applied, right, when proper sacrifice, when proper, you know, atonement is applied, it takes effect immediately. That's the thing. People are like, well, if I could just change my situation a little bit, if I need a bigger house, I need a different car, I need, you know, my kids to just do this, I need to change where I'm at, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. If I just did this, then things will start to change. What you don't understand is if you just simply apply the Word of God, it takes effect immediately. It's not like a 12-step plan. If I just do this and this and this and this and this, it doesn't work like that. God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus says. It takes effect immediately. Flip over to Mark chapter 4 real quick. Keep your finger here. We'll come back. Mark chapter 4.
I'll win.
Do you? You don't know what verse though, so actually I'll win. Mark chapter 4 verses 36 to 41. Okay, so here's a story. You guys have heard it, I'm sure. But I want you to see the parallel to what's going on here. It's the disciples. They're hanging out with Jesus. And so they just got done. He's teaching all these people. All this is just done. And so in verse 36, it says, "When they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." So it's not like a storm. And I don't know how big the boat was that they were in. Big enough for them to be in anyway. And it's not just waves. It's filling up with water. Things are not going well here. We're not talking about it's like making me seasick. It's talking about we're going to sink. That's what it says. It's almost full of water. Verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Jesus is taking a nap, right? He's tired. He's been working, right? He's doing all the things. It says, "He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him," the disciples, right? "And said unto him, Master." Again, it's not when you call him Lord. It's when there's propitiation applied, right? You can say with your mouth all that you want to say. "I'm going to follow. I'm going to do. I'm going to. It's what it sounds like to me. Blah, 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 blah. Where are you going with the food, man? He gone. It's all good. Sorry, I just saw Phil and it was all good. I was just giving him a hard time. So anyway, we say all the things, right? We say all the things, but our actions don't line up with what we're saying. And I'm like, I don't really care what you say anymore. You know, tell your spouse that you're going to be better day after day after day after day after day and never change. Are you guys done in there? Tell everybody to get in here. I just got started.
You just got started.
I mean, kind of. We say, "Yeah, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that." You tell your spouse, "I'm going to do this. You know, babe, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that." Right? Guys, some of you are tracking. It's like, you know, we call that a honey-do list. "Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. All the things. I'm going to do it. I'm going to." At some point, they're going to quit believing you because you don't ever do it. It's kind of like that spiritually with me, right? Because this is what happens. And I'll get back to the story in a minute. But people that you only see every now and then, right? You might see them at church every now and then, but for the most part, they're very disconnected. But for whatever reason, they'll run into, and I'm just using Paige and I as an example, they'll run into Paige and I, you know, at the grocery store, at a school event, this, that, or the other. I know that you're unattached. It's no mystery to me. I get it. Like, as soon as you're ready to get serious, you'll get serious. I don't lose sleep over it. I pray for you guys, but it's like, I can't lose sleep over every bad decision that everybody that I've ever taught makes. If so, I would never sleep. It just happens. And so, but they run into you, and the second they see you, I don't know if it's conviction or what, and they're like, "Hey, man, it's crazy that I saw you. We were going to come back this week, right? We've been really getting everything lined up, and our plan, you know, can we get back into that Bible study that we were doing?" And it's like, "Yeah, absolutely we can." But it's like, they see you, and all of a sudden it's like, they feel convicted, and don't feel convicted about me. Like, I only see you every now and then. I would feel more convicted, especially if you're saved, that the God of the universe lives inside of you and you're dragging him through the hell of a life that you've got going on, right? That's what I would be more convicted about. But that's what happens. And, you know, people are like, "Oh yeah, we were really getting ready." I'm like, praise the Lord. I hope you do. Right? I love people's intentions, but you know what? God doesn't bless good intentions. He blesses obedience. God's after obedience. If God blessed good intentions, man, I'd already be to heaven because I got lots of them. But he blesses obedience. And so anyway, you know, they're like, they call him Master. They go down, he's asleep, and he says, and he rose, "Master, careth not that thou we perish?" They're like, "Okay, maybe if you die, we understand that you say you're God, but we're not gods, and so we're going to die here. Do you not care that we're all going to die?" And he arose, verse 39, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. This is what he says. He didn't say anything to the disciples. I'm sure that spoke enough, right? Sometimes you're just so mad at your kids, you can't even talk to them, right? You can't. He doesn't say anything. He just gets up. He steps outside. He says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It goes from hurricane-like situation to, with three words, calm. Can you just imagine what that's like? And that's insane to me. And the disciples, you know, it goes on and it says, and he said unto them, after he stops the storm, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? They're like, oh my gosh, we thought he was God, but maybe he really is God. Right? That happens in a lot of Christians' life. Oh yeah, I thought he was God. I claimed him as God. I claimed the salvation thing. But it wasn't until there was actual, like, change in my life that it's like, wow, maybe there's something to this. Yeah, there's been something to it from day one. You just didn't apply it. You didn't take the propitiation. You didn't take the blood and actually do something with it. That's what, it just blows my mind. You know, we think we're super serious about what we're doing with our Christian life. And man, most of us are walking around like fools, and Jesus has got to be looking at us like, what are you doing? You know, we're just like, God, save us. And he's like, do you not have any faith? I was just trying to let you see how strong that you actually could be in me. But instead, you keep crying out for help. Instead, you never get through the trial because you just keep begging for help. And when I don't come and save you within like 10 seconds, you try to do it your way. And when you do that, what happens? Well, you fall on your face. And here we are, day after day, week after week. And Christians come back for counseling, and they come back and they're like, I don't know why God's not working in my life. Because you have no faith. That's why. That's what it says. Man, it's messed up. When the storm is crazy in your life. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a storm. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, when something in your life feels like it is just, it's crazy. And it's like, I don't know what to do. Right? The waves of life, they're beating you to death. Right? I love the ocean. It's like one of the most fascinating things to me in the world. I absolutely love it. I love the consistency of the waves. I could lay and just listen to the waves. But the thing that is so crazy awesome about that is the thing that also makes it so terrifying is that in any circumstance, it doesn't stop. It's always going to come, right? So whether you have peace in it or whether you're in it and you're drowning, it's going to keep coming. Right? You can feel like you're drowning. I hate to be the guy that tells you this, but the waves won't stop. Right? It just won't. So you either find peace in it or you drown in it, one or the other. Because the waves won't stop. Life will not stop. It just doesn't. It's short and it's temporal, but it will not stop. And so the more that we're like, God, why are you allowing this, right? The waves, they're beating you to death and you're working and you're trying to do everything you can, right? And you're just working and you're doing everything, right? And you just feel like you're drowning. And here's what we feel like. We feel like God doesn't care. Because that's what happens. Even Christians, we're like, yes, I'll serve you. I'll do this. I'll do this. And then the waves keep coming. And they keep coming. And we keep coming. And you're like, yeah, God's really trying my faith. And they keep coming. We come. And you're like, man, this is getting really hard. And they keep coming. And they keep. And the more that you do it, and you start to, instead of growing in your faith, you start to lose faith. And the next thing you say, right, is God, you must not even care. And I quit. I've seen so many people just leave. Right? They just walk away from the faith. People that I know, without a doubt, were born again, were getting something done, right? Just on fire for the Lord, and they just quit. And they're just like, God, you must not even care. You know what Jesus says? He says, peace be still. Right? When it's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming, he says, peace be still. He doesn't say, peace, work a little harder. Right? He doesn't say, peace, do something different. Try it this way. He doesn't say, peace, try to change your situation. Try a different job. Peace, do this. Peace, do this. He says, peace, be still. Just wait. When it seems like it's absolutely crazy in your life, that's the time to do nothing. And yet the world says that's the time that you need to do this, 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 and this. When it seems like everything is crazy. Now, I'm not saying like if you got something in your life that you actually need to address, you need to address it. But I'm saying when it feels like there's the storm of life and God's just allowing things and allowing things, he's wanting to see what you have in you. And if you run every time something's hard, you're never, ever going to be where God wants you to be. You just won't. You'll be Jonah your entire life. And you know what? You'll die, Jonah. And you're the only person who has to answer for that. That's just how it is. Right? I see it just all the time in people's lives, and they just, like, God is just wanting you to see what is actually inside of you. But instead, we just run. We try to change things. We try to work it out. We try to do this. And God says, peace, be still. Right? He doesn't say, hey, disciples, here's what you should do. If you went out and you prayed and you did this and this, then the sea would be calm. If you just went out and rode this way, then you could get back to land. No, he says, here's what you need to do. Have faith in me. And I'll change the circumstances. But until you can just have faith in me, we're never going to get anywhere. And it's a mess, guys. If you don't apply the propitiation the right way, it's just never, ever going to work. Some of y'all's problem, and I don't mean just you, I just mean in general in Christianity, is that you don't want Jesus kind of peace in your life. And that's the truth. I hate to be like that, but that's the truth. Some of y'all, you don't want Jesus kind of peace, right? Because that would mean that you had to give up control. And you like having control of your life. You like Jesus in this corner of your life. You like Jesus on Sunday, right? You like Jesus when people are around. But you don't like Jesus to have control. And that's the problem. You don't want peace because then you would have to give up. Jesus doesn't want to co-parent your life with you, right? In case you're wondering. Co-parenting, I don't know, this whole thing is just weird. But he doesn't want to co-parent your life with you. He either has control or he doesn't. So which is it? Is it him or is it you? Is it his way or is it your way? I'm just asking because it's really easy for me from the outside to see. Now, I'm not judging anybody. Y'all do your thing, right? But look at your own life. Is it his way or is it your way? Has the sea ceased from her raging in your life? Or does it seem like it just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming, right? Truth only, this is a statement that I really like this statement. Truth only becomes truth for your life when it's rightly applied. All right, we talked about this in the marriage conference not very long ago, but truth, meaning truth, the word, the book that you hold in your hand, truth only becomes truth for your life when it's rightly applied. You know, I use the example of when we were at the marriage conference, this example of, it's called zip tape. It's flashing tape is what it is. When we build houses, we use it for window flashing tape, or it's actually designed to go on this type of sheeting that you put on a house, and if you tape it, it's waterproof for, you know, a long amount of time. It's way better than just normal sheeting. But anyway, what we use zip tape for is everything except for that, right? We do. It's about 4 inches wide, it's black, and it is super sticky, right? It is the greatest. It's like the equivalent of 100 mile an hour tape that they use in NASCAR, right? Or 200 mile. This stuff is great. We use it for everything. I've seen people, you know, replace their windows in their car with this stuff. You can put it in there. You can't see through it, but like, it's great. You can hold it. I've seen people hold the bumpers of their cars on with this stuff. We use it for everything.
Airplane.
Yeah. That's really funny. We went skydiving last summer, right? There was zip tape on the plane that we jumped out of. I think it was more on the, anyway, but it was funny. When you think about it, it's like, we went skydiving, there's zip tape on this. I wasn't really holding it together, but I'm like, you use zip tape for everything. It's great. If you need some good tape, now it's expensive, but it's worth it, right? But the thing is, zip tape comes with a warranty. If you use it right, like, they'll warranty the sheeting or the windows or whatever if you use it right. Okay, that's what I'm saying. It's really good stuff. They're not going to warranty it holding your car bumper on, right? They're not going to warranty it on an airplane wing or whatever else, right? Truth is the same way. It's just an analogy. Truth is the same way. Truth is only truth in your life if you rightly apply it. You can take it and use it as a Band-Aid. You can take it and say, man, I think this will work over here in a pinch, right? You can take some Jesus and slap it on your marriage for a minute. You can take some Jesus and slap it on any area of your life and think, man, this is really working. Truth is only truth if it's rightly applied. Because if it's not rightly applied, it's just a work, right? And God's not into your works, even though it's kind of what we're going to talk about, well, next week because we ain't got time today. But that's what we're going to... Man, if there's storms in your life, you got to just submit. Man, too often we're just like, man, I just need to change this. I got to do this. I've got to do... No, what you need to do is find peace. And peace is only in Christ. And you might say, man, I get where you're coming from. Your life seems to be put together. You have no idea, in case you're wondering, by the way. But what I'm saying is, if there's storms in your life, that just tells me that God's working. Right? If your life is all peaceful and everything's great and everything's happening, that tells me that something's not right. Man, but it's the people that I know that are going through it. The people that I know that God is trying. He's allowing things to happen, right? Maybe it's even tragedy here and there and different things. I know that that's happening for a reason. And I know that God is working. And I know that you're going to be better because of it, right? God didn't put the book of Job in the Bible to be like, hey, watch what I can do to people. Isn't that funny? Right? No, he puts it in there for you to learn something from. And he's like, hey, this guy, he had it. He had it in him. Do you? You know, and when you have that stuff going on in your life, instead of screaming out and saying, God, why don't you care? God, why do you let this happen? God, do something. Say, God, what should I do now? And you know what he's going to tell you? Be still. Right? Be still. Because I promise, when God's ready for you to do something, I mean this with all my heart, when God is ready for you to do something, when God is ready for you to make a change, when God says, hey, it's time to change careers, when God says it's time to do, you fill in the blank, something big, something crazy, something, he will make it so abundantly clear to your life that a billboard wouldn't be as clear as that. Right? There was a time in our life that I knew. We had been to London once. We did this other thing. We went to London a second time. There was a really good opportunity. Brian Clark, you know, he kind of laid some things out. He's like, hey, we could use some help. And I'm like, babe, we're going to move to London. You know, I've been trained up. I'm ready to go. Our kids are young. Let's just go. It was great. It was a godly thing, right? But it was something that I wanted to do more than God wanted me to do right now. And one of the hardest things for me to do was to say, okay, God, I know this is good. This is godly. They're always telling us we should go, we should do, we should. Yeah, that's what they're telling you. But what is God telling you? And when I actually sought God's face on it and said, God, what do you want me to do? He made it so abundantly clear that you're not going anywhere. And actually, I've got a really good plan for you right here. Are you going to submit to it or not? When God wants you to make a change, when God wants you to go or to stay or to do or to whatever, he will make it so abundantly clear. And until then, you better learn how to have peace and just be still. Because he can use you right where you're at. Right in the craziness of life. Right in the midst of what seems so chaotic and so just underwhelming at times. Find peace in that. Because that's where God has you. And the more times that you try to change it, the farther away from the will of God that you become. Every time that you try to change it, you try to go, you try to do, you take another step out of the will of God. Another step away from the will of God. And God's like, hey, I'm not saying that what you're doing is a bad thing. If we would have went to London, it wouldn't have been a bad thing. I really think that we could have done some things. But it wasn't God's thing at God's time. I'm not saying that if you change jobs that God's not in. I'm not saying if you go and move somewhere else, if you go and do this, that God's not in. I'm saying, did God tell you to do that? Because if he didn't, then he had purpose where you're at. And you might say, well, I don't feel like there's purpose. Well, I'm just saying, God's doing something. Are you going to allow him to or not? I don't know. All right, we're going to get to the last thing next week. I wanted to get done today, but we got started late and it's all good. So we'll finish this up next week. And then the following week, don't forget, it's Church in the Park. So if you come here, you'll be here by yourself or with anybody else who forgot. So, but that's in 2 weeks, first week of June. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, you're good. Your word is just awesome. And as I read just the book of Jonah and the things that you did just, you know, thousands of years ago in this man's life, you preserved it even now for my life and for us to see that, you know, the farther we run from you, the more that you're going to grab at us and pull at us. And Lord, we have to submit at some point or we will drown. Lord, I pray that you would just give us peace in your word, peace in our lives through you, and that you would get the honor and the glory for all of it. Lord, I thank you for just everything that's been going on this morning and just the meetings that have happened. And I pray you get the glory for all of it. Pray for Pastor Brian as he preaches this morning, that you just really convict our hearts. Lord, I pray for Tucker and Ellie, especially and baby Hazel Grace, Lord, that you just give them some sweet time as a family and just praise you for the awesome thing that you did this week through their life. And so I pray you just get all the honor and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.